I'm Marty Moscoen, and welcome to Radio Times. Here's a quote from my guest, G. Bruce Boyer. He said, "It's both delusional and stupid to think that clothes don't really matter, and we should all wear whatever we want. Most people don't take clothes seriously enough, but whether we should or not, clothes do talk to us, and we make decisions based on people's appearances." And he should know. Boyer's been writing about men's style and fashion for decades. As the former menswear editor at Town & Country, he's curated fashion exhibitions at FIT in New York, and he's written a new book. It's called True Style, The History and Principles of Classic Men's Wear. And he joins us here in our Philadelphia studio. I'm Bruce Boyer. Nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thank you, Marty. It's my pleasure to be here.
Nice to have you here. Our guest, Wale Oyejide, was named one of the, quote, best-dressed real men in America by Esquire magazine. We're laughing. He's a Philly-based designer, the creative director for a line of men's clothing called Akiri Jones that he describes as a marriage between Neapolitan tailoring and African aesthetics. He's also a lawyer and a musician. And Wale Oyejide, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Nice to have you here. And a show for men and about men, how to create your own personal style of dressing. And we want to hear from you at 1-888-477-7499. We are clearly on the radio, and I was going to ask each of you to describe what you're wearing. And I've seen pictures, Bruce, of you very nattily dressed. You're very cash today.
I'm very casual because, you know the old joke that I have a face made for radio.
I do know that joke, yes.
And so I'm dressed for radio today, you know. My aesthetic is what I laughingly call rumpled.
Ah, rumpled.
Yeah, because I'm kind of rumpled, you know.
So even if you're wearing a suit sitting here, it would still have a slightly rumpled look
yes,
to it?
Oh, yes. Yes. I could never in my life pull off that Prussian general look, you know, the high architectural perfect kind of thing, you know, no wrinkles, no one. So I don't even try.
Right.
You know, I think a guy should be comfortable in his clothes, you know, and if you have, and I'm not saying this about me, but if you have a sense of flair and a little style and so forth, I mean, I don't think a couple of wrinkles matter.
I don't either. Well, you did dress kind of for the occasion.
Yeah, but the occasion for me, this is every day. So
this is how you dress every day. But so describe to our listeners what you're wearing. And I have to say it's drop-dead beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. I get it from my mother. I think that to visualize it, it's kind of a West African dictator meets Naples. So it's the idea of like what would happen if Robert Mugabe was living in Italy and had a very well-tailored jacket.
Oh, wow.
So it's bold and certainly loud and ostentatious, but I think it's still elegant. I like to think it still has a beautiful silhouette. It's not a caricature. It's, you know, it's elegant.
Right. And yeah. And this is what you wear every day?
I mean, not to mow the lawn, but this is essentially me to me. And, you know, I think that people believe what you believe, so you walk into a room and take yourself seriously, and I think that's how you're perceived. So even if you're wearing something that's rather loud, it's still seen as, oh, this is
who you are.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we kind of chuckled when Esquire magazine named you one of the best-dressed real men in America.
Does that mean?
I don't know. Yeah. I was going to ask you, what does that mean?
I think it means I'm somebody who sings lullabies to his daughter and takes her to the park every day, and that's kind of what gets me out of bed. But I happen to love wearing suiting as well. So it's the idea that none of us is this very specific image about what a man is. I'm not chopping down trees with axes, but I would like to think that I'm a good father, and that's what matters to me.
Yeah. Bruce, I don't want to make stereotypes about men, but I do know a number of men who just, they don't like shopping. They just do not like going to a store. They don't like trying clothing on. They don't like looking in the mirror. What do you say to those men? I happen to live with one of them, but what do you say to
him or
them?
Well, we don't want to get personal, but no, you're absolutely right. In fact, I can give you the general statistics. The statistics have always been that, particularly with American men, more than 50% of them do not buy their own clothes. Their clothes are bought by their mothers, their wives, their girlfriends. And it always seems strange to me because, you know, A guy would never think of taking his mother along to buy a car.
No.
Right?
No.
You know, but for some reason, something that's so personal, so much a part of your personality, American guys have a problem with. I think some of the problem is that they feel it's somehow effeminate, homosexual, you know. And frankly, that's crazy.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. I mean, you quoted me at the beginning of the show, and what I really say to carry that further is, you know, clothes talk. In fact, they never shut up. And if you don't listen to what they're saying, you're going to have to pay the price for it. You know, I think that the best way for a guy to look at clothing, just an average guy, I mean, Wally and I happen to be interested in clothing. You know, it's an academic subject. It's a pleasure. But I think for most guys, they should look at it as tools. It's a tool. You know, it's one of the tools you have in your toolbox, just like etiquette, language, and whatever else it is that you do. You should dress appropriately to the occasion, to your audience, to your lifestyle. And I think that somehow guys don't really understand that. Mm. But over and over again, they pay the price.
Well, let me go back to you, Wally, because you are a lawyer. And
sure.
I'm assuming you spend a fair amount of time in court. And I can't imagine you were wearing that jacket in court.
No.
So you sort of dress for the occasion.
Absolutely.
What got you interested in fashion? Because you didn't go to FIT.
No, I have no fashion background. I was speaking with Bruce before the show. For me, it was just a natural kind of interest in wanting to better myself, and the idea that, you know, you go out on Friday evening to the movies. The vast majority of couples you see have these women who are, you know, look lovely. They're kind of dressed to be seen and to be presented, and presumably do this for themselves because they want to feel good. Most of the men you see with on the arms of these lovely women are wearing like a T-shirt and a pair of cargo shorts.
Yeah.
Which, you know, again,
it's a look.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's you should be comfortable in what you wear. But for me, it seems strange that you would have somebody who's kind of working a little harder for you to look at them, and you do nothing to reciprocate that. So for me, it's just the idea of like you know, I walk around the city of Philadelphia and people walk up to me like without fail.
I'm sure they do.
Not because I'm dashingly handsome, which I am, but because, you know, they're seeing something unique and beautiful. Right. And it's just, to them, it's different. It's rare to see men, particularly in the city, who are very comfortable dressed the way I am.
Do you think things are changing, though?
And absolutely.
I mean, it does. And this is just, you know, looking in magazines and also just looking at people walking on the street, not just you, Wally, but that there seems to be a more sort of openness to mix and match things, for women to wear men's clothes, for men to wear women's clothes from time to time. Are we seeing a sort of loosening, Bruce, of the rules and regulations?
There is a loosening, and I'm impressed by how many young guys who are interested in tailored clothing again. But I just want to come back to something that Wally said, because I think it's kind of important. And you mentioned you're married to one of these guys who doesn't really get it entirely. So I'm going to put the blame on the women to some extent. And I agree with Wally entirely and his example. If you go out, you see the gals. And boy, they look fabulous. You know, they've got a dress on and the hair and the makeup and the heels. And they look fabulous. And there was some guy who's wearing torn jeans and these hyper-designed running shoes and something. Now, my thing is, if I were a woman and a guy came to pick me up for a date looking like that, I'd say, no, I don't think so. I think you got to go home and put a little effort into this. and show that you have a little respect for me and the occasion. You know, it's...
But couldn't that be seen as a kind of studied, I don't care,
oh, it is.
Kind of nonchalance?
It is, but it's, you know, it's a little more than that. It's blatant.
Ah.
It's blatant, I don't care. And that's really what I have against it. I don't mind a little casualness. The Italian word is sprezzatura. It means a studied nonchalance.
Like I don't care, but
I just care
so much that I don't care.
Exactly. You know, I don't care. I just happened to pick this stuff up and get dressed, and I didn't even really care. I just happened to look fabulous. But these guys, sure, but they're dressing down to the lowest common denominator. You know, it's a case of their vanity is completely overcome by their herd instinct. They don't want to dress better than the guys they hang around with.
Well, let me just pick up on that and go back to you, Wally. And I'm thinking of, you know, the late Steve Jobs. We know wore blue jeans or dungarees, the word that I grew up saying. Mark Zuckerberg wears hoodies.
Right.
I mean, sort of indistinguishable probably from the people that they work with.
Yeah.
Could we see that as a kind of democracy? I mean, it's just saying, look, I'm one of the guys. I may own this company. I may be a billionaire, but I'm just one of the guys.
Yeah, I think that in itself is very studied and very much creation of a persona, which we all do in some shape or form. I mean, if I step into this room, I'm projecting a version of myself that I want you to see for the most part. And I think even beyond kind of the idea of demonizing sweatpants and socks and sandals is the aspect of feeling great about yourself because you feel like you're presenting your best self. So, you know, I kind of find it hard to believe that people on dates feel that this is their best self as sweatpants. Maybe so. But for me, it's the idea that you really, it's a bit of a cliche, but if you feel like you look good, you feel good, it's a whole mental thing. I feel very confident because I know that I look as good as I can be. And so that to me is even more powerful than kind of a societal finger wagging at how you should look.
You can buy a pair of torn blue jeans for $250.
Yeah, and if that's what makes you feel like the man, then by all means.
Without judgment.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
But, Bruce, you're saying, you can do a little better?
Well, I think so. Although I don't disagree with what Wally's saying. And actually, you can pay $400 or $500 for those jeans too, but I just find it kind of blatant, and it's a little silly, and it makes me wonder about the sanity of these otherwise stable guys that. You know, you take a 50-year-old banker, and he's dressing like some 17-year-old drug-addled surfer. I mean,
you're saying grow up.
Well, I'm saying, how come you're 50 years old and you don't know yourself? How come you're still looking for yourself?
Oh, interesting. Well, let's
take
it.
We all are.
A never-ending quest. We're taking a very short break, and then we'll get back to our conversation. That's G. Bruce Boyer. Also with us is Wale Oyejide, and both of them know a lot about men's fashion, and we have a lot of people that want to join the conversation. 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss Cohen. We're talking about men and style and fashion and clothing. And I do want to play a clip. This is from the second season of Seinfeld, the show's eighth episode overall. And here's George, played by Jason Alexander, complimenting Jerry's new suede jacket.
This jacket has completely changed my life. When I leave the house in this, it's with a whole different confidence. Like tonight, I might have been a little nervous, but inside this jacket, I am composed, grounded, secure that I can meet any social challenge.
Can I say one thing to you? And I say this with an unblemished record of staunch heterosexuality.
Absolutely.
It's fabulous.
Such a great clip.
Classic.
Sort of picks up on all the themes that we have been talking about. Now,
yes.
You make jackets.
I do.
And you also make scarves and...
Various
scarves, sort of accessories,
squares,
and things like
accoutrements.
That.
Yeah.
Why jackets? Is it just because it's a jacket?
It's a jacket. It's one of the first things people see when you step into a room. It's fairly large. It's something you can live in. You can tell stories with it. It hopefully travels with you for years to come if it's well made. It makes a statement. I think I'm very much at the core of everything I do is it's about storytelling. So the idea that you look at me and you walk into a room and people, you're saying, as Bruce so eloquently stated, you're saying something.
Right.
And for me, it's there's a lot to say. It's the story of kind of post-colonialism and being kind of still tethered to those who influence us, but also kind of making your way forward in this in the new world.
And how did you know how to do this? As you said, I mean, you're a lawyer, you're a musician, you didn't train, you didn't go to fashion school or design school.
No, so I often joke that I went to law school to become a designer because a good friend of mine in law school had a brother who was a tailor.
Wow.
So it's, you know, it's very funny that the doors that open when you walk through them.
But were you sort of maybe unconsciously looking for something else?
That's so esoteric because I think we all are very much in different ways. But I think no. I mean, I've always been creative. And the long tragic story short is very common and cliched in that I was somebody who was creative and went to law school because it was the safe and proper path. And I found out very quickly after practicing for a few years that it was, at least what I was doing at the time, was stifling and not at all fulfilling for what I need to get up out of bed in the morning. So I needed to create. And the short stories that I went out and I did it in the best way that I knew how, just to tell my own personal story.
That's great. Bruce, I do want to ask you about, and this is just something that I've noticed flipping through men's fashion magazines or looking at magazines and seeing often very thin young men in suits that look almost like straitjackets. I mean,
yes.
They're very thin. They're buttoned up. I don't think an actual human being could actually fit into these suits. What is that about?
Well, that's it.
What's
that's
going
a,
on
that's
here?
That's a good sociological question. It's certainly true. You know, we've seen that in women's clothing for a long time. In fact, I think the French have just passed a law that you cannot have these anorexic models anymore. They consider it something of a health hazard. And in menswear, we've avoided it for a long time, but it's come our way now, too. I mean, I see the same thing. The models look like emaciated 12-year-old boys.
Yeah.
And I think there's something very wrong with it. Well, there are a couple of influences there. I'm something of a fan of Tom Brown, the designer. I think he's one of the most influential current designers. And regardless of what you think of him, he has made us all shorten our jackets a little bit, you know. And also the more fashionista type Italians have done the same thing. Mm-hmm. If you go to the Italian trade shows like Pitiomo, you see that all over the place. It's what I call the spray can fit. I mean, it looks like they've been sprayed on. The good news is that that's changing a little bit. The clothing that I see the really advanced young guys are wearing, I'm a big fan of I hate to plug things. It's not my style, but there's a shop in New York called The Armory, and I think it's one of the best stores in the country. And the guys there are starting to wear slightly looser clothing, you know, slightly higher rise trousers and so forth. But yeah, I don't really have any rapport with that tight look at all. It's not comfortable, and it makes people who look at that feel uncomfortable, you know.
Well, even Wally, looking at your designs, and it looks like a number of the photo shoots were at Eastern State Penitentiary.
Yes,
here in Philadelphia, which is a great place to take photographs. But you're one of the models, and there are other – I mean, you look like a regular person.
Well,
you don't look like you're in a straitjacket.
None of my core models are models. They're all personal friends of mine.
Well, that's what I kind of figured. I mean, they're handsome and look great in the clothing, but they're not –
They look like
rail
people.
Thin. They look
right.
like people.
Well, for me, it's the idea that, again, if you're going to create something, you kind of hopefully make it in the image that you want out there. And so beyond the idea of using, putting kind of people of color, which is not a common thing in fashion, period, forward, it's the idea of using actual real human beings who are wearing clothes. Because when you walk down the street, you're not seeing 6-7 foot tall Scandinavian 130-pound models. You're seeing guys like myself and Mr. Boy over here.
Exactly.
So that's kind of who I make clothes for, real people.
Let me try a tweet out on you. This is a tweet from Walt. He says, no black shoes with blue pants, guys. Brown with blue, not black. Belt matches the shoes.
Well,
what are the rules here?
Well, I'm not a great one for rules. As I said before, I'm more for tools than rules. But the brown shoe thing is something that the Milanese, Northern Italians, have really promoted. I can't remember the last time I've seen a Northern Italian guy wearing black shoes.
Oh, really?
My own feeling is that brown shoes are more interesting. I have dozens of pairs of shoes. I'm not a foot fetishist, but I love good shoes. And I don't think I have a pair of brown shoes.
Oh, interesting.
I wear brown shoes with everything, including a blue suit. So my feeling is that black shoes are necessary if you work in the kind of a job that calls for that kind of thing. You know, that super conservative, super traditional thing. Otherwise, I love brown shoes. I don't know what Wally thinks
about it. Yeah, you have a position on shoes?
I'm a proponent of you get to a certain age, you're a growing man, you do what you want, I think is the short answer. I do think it's important to be aware of history and kind of know why there are these, quote, rules. And I think once you're kind of aware of what the blueprint is, then you can shape it in the way that you see fit. But otherwise, I'm not going to tell, you know, somebody with kids and a mortgage that he should not wear X
whatever.
Color.
Whatever.
You went to work, you worked hard, do what you want to do.
If I can just add one thing. The thing about black shoes is that, you know, black is black is black. But brown, I mean, there are hundreds of shades of brown. I mean, that's what makes it more interesting, you know.
Well, you have a chapter in your book, Bruce. It's called The Shoe Hosiery Trouser Nexus.
Nexus.
I didn't know there was a nexus.
There's a nexus.
And it's where all those things come together.
Come together, yeah.
Is there I don't know if we're all about rules in this show, but are there certain things men should think about when it comes to that nexus?
Well, I think, you know, you know, now that you put it to me that way, the word nexus comes out as being very funny.
It is very funny. Why do you think I circled?
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't have used that word, but there are several nexuses.
Nexi, right?
That's right. There's the nexus around the neck. You know, the shirt, the jacket, the tie, the pocket square, and then there's the shoe and the hosiery my feeling is that, you know, if you start using too many patterns and too many colors at those particular points where all of these different garments meet, you're going to blow the fuses a little bit.
Oh,
you know, you're going to make people. You're going to look like a slot machine in Vegas. You know, where the cherries just keep spinning around. You know, so I tell guys, you know, that when it comes to colors, complementary, not matching, and not crazy. Complimentary somehow, you know, which takes some time to learn, but it can be done.
Do you have a theory about the shoe hosiery trouser nexus?
Well, I think all of us, when we first start, go a little crazy. It's like we discover, oh, I can appreciate clothes now, so I'm going to wear them all at once. And so you have like the red socks and the polka dot tie and like the crazy shirt. And so there's a certain curve process that we all have to kind of go through and realize where we are. For me, it's very much about kind of a, if you're going to be Basquiat, you have to know what goes on the canvas and what stays on the floor. So you can throw the paint on, but it has to kind of, you step back and it needs to have a cohesive message to it.
And I mean, we're so much focused on your jacket in many ways because it's you know, you don't see this every day.
Yeah.
How much do you spend thinking about what pants you're going to wear and what socks you're going to wear and what belt and shirt?
For me, if you're going to have, you know, I don't really do rules, but for the most part, if my jacket is going to be loud as it is, the rest of me is going to be somewhat subdued. Because it's not, we're not at a funhouse mirror. It's like you draw the eye to a certain focal point, and the rest of it kind of needs to be, you know, it's a very kind of artistic minimalism perspective to being loud.
Let me just quickly reintroduce the two of you. We've got a lot of people that want to join the conversation. We are talking about men in fashion and style and clothing. Wale Oyejide is a Philadelphia-based designer. He's also a creative director for a line of men's clothing called Akiri Jones, and he has described it, as has others, as a kind of a marriage between, what, Neapolitan tailoring, I guess Italian
That's
tailoring.
That's a fancy way to say it. It's cut well.
Cut well. Yeah. Fair enough. And African aesthetics. He was born in Nigeria, lives here in Philadelphia. Also with us is G. Bruce Boyer, and he, for many years, was the menswear editor at Town & Country. He's curated fashion exhibitions at FIT in New York, and he has a new book. It's called True Style, The History and Principles of Classic Menswear. And you can join the conversation at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Did you want to add something, Bruce, before we get to our callers?
I did, but I forgot at the moment. So I'll come back to it.
You're not the only one. Believe me. Let me get Dwayne from Glenside to join us on Radio Times. Hi, Dwayne. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm one of these guys who has a low priority on my clothes. It's not because I'm afraid of being effeminate or anything like that. It's that my wife and other people are so much better at picking out clothes that work for me, and my eye for them just does not exist. And I'm just much more comfortable letting them kind of do the clothes thing and go with that. So
do you do that? Do you do that, Dwayne, in other parts of your life?
Well,
sorry to put you on the spot there, but.
That's fine. Only in the parts that are not all that important to me. And I don't know how to make something important to me if it's just not innately sort of important to me. I don't particularly judge other people by their clothes all that much, I don't think. Comfort is a priority.
Sure.
And I don't think I look like a slouch, you know, all that much of the time. So.
Well, no, I appreciate your call. I'm looking at you, Bruce. Go
ahead. Let me throw a question back at you.
Sure.
Is there some reason why you are taking your own look rather cavalierly? I mean, that you don't really care how you look? Is that what you're saying?
Dwayne?
You know, it's a good question. I'm just not that complicated. I don't know. I've never asked myself that question.
No, it's interesting. What are you going there, Bruce? What are you going for?
Well, I was just interested because you know, I mean, clothing is a very personal thing because it does in a way tell us who we are, and I don't have any problem particularly with people who say, well, I don't really care how I look. You know, I'm a wonderful accountant or, you know, whatever it is. And I don't have to look like anything special. And I don't particularly care. But I think Marty raised an interesting point. I mean, is this kind of unconcern with the way things look, does it carry over into, you know, your car, your house? I don't want to say your wife or anything like
that.
No,
don't say that.
I don't want to say that. But, I mean, you know, is this a kind of general feeling, or is there just something about your appearance that you don't care about?
Well, that's what I think makes this so interesting, because it taps into so many other issues. Wally, anything you want to add to
that? Well, I would say that, you know, much like everything, clothing is personal, but there are people who are passionate about baseball,
right,
about football, about jackets, and these are not mutually exclusive areas.
Right.
So I think when I think that I realize I'm very passionate about music, about the way that I look, I'm also cognizant of the fact that there are people who are, for them, it's just not a high point of interest. And I think that's what makes us all different. I think it's fine. I think that people should not feel self-conscious just because I might walk into a room looking a certain way and I get attention for it, whereas they are, you know, sought after for a different area. Like, we're all different. That's why we're all interesting.
Right. Well put.
Well put indeed. Let me get to Ira joining us on Radio Times. Ira, go ahead. You're on the air. That's Ira in his limousine? Yeah, go ahead, Ira.
Listen, I want to make a statement. I got a ticket one time.
Ira. I know you, Ira.
Yes, it's me, Marty. So I go down to traffic court. I present myself, Ira and Roberts. And they looked at me and said, well, you're representing Ira and Roberts. I'm like, no, I'm Ira and Roberts. The guy tells me I dress like a lawyer. Yeah. I absolutely love to dress. Some men like fishing. I like fashion. You know, and I'm very, and Marty, you know me. I'm very confident in my dress.
He's a very snappy dresser. You are, Ira.
Thanks, Marty. Well, I love what your panel's saying, you know, and not enough men go out and dress for themselves. And, you know, I know what looks good on me. I love the crazy socks. I love matching up the colors. You know, like Marty can tell you, she's like, oh, Ira, you put that together well. You know, so I appreciate you guys sitting on this topic today because I normally don't call in, and Marty can tell you that, but I love what you guys are saying today, and thanks for being there.
Well, Ira, thanks for your call into Radio Times. That was really fun. You know, and I will say, Bruce, and we're almost up at a break here, he really puts himself together clothing-wise.
It's a funny thing, but as far as occupations go, lawyers and stockbrokers – there are so many of them who really are into clothes. You know, the fancy suspenders, braces, and wonderful suits. And but yeah, it's interesting.
It's because we have to bury the hole inside ourselves.
Sorry.
Right. I guess once a lawyer, always a lawyer, right? Yeah, you'll never get away from. Well, let's take that short break, and then we'll get back to our conversation talking about men and fashion and clothing and style. And our guests are G. Bruce Boyer, and he has been a long time menswear editor at Town and Country. He is also the author of a new book called True Style, The History and Principles of Classic Menswear. Wale Oyejide is a clothing designer here in Philadelphia. His company called Akiri Jones, and he's also a lawyer, a musician, and we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. Stay with us. Call us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscowing. We're talking about men and clothing, fashion, style. Let me play another scene from a different movie. This is Crazy Stupid Love. It came out in 2011. Steve Carell plays a guy named Cal. He's newly divorced. He's a middle-aged man. And he's with this new and very cool friend, Jacob Palmer, who's played by Ryan Gosling. Jacob Palmer, teaching him how to dress to pick up women.
Let me ask you a question, Cal. How much money you got today for clothes? Happened to your feet?
What do you mean? These are my 407s.
Oh, they're 407s. Can I see them?
Yeah. These offer a lot of support.
Right.
Whoa, come on!
What are you, in a fraternity?
Are you insane?
Are you in a fraternity?
You could have hit somebody. What was that?
I'm asking you a question. You in a fraternity?
No.
Are you Steve Jobs?
What?
Hold on a second. Are you the billionaire owner of Apple Computers?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case, you got no right to wear New Balance sneakers ever.
Kind of an inside joke here. I guess they're just laughing their heads off at that particular clip. You even knew what a 407 was. Oh, no. No, you did not know. Let me get John to join our conversation. John calling us on Radio Times. Hi, John. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you, Marty?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. I wanted to make a comment. I've been very fortunate to spend a lot of time in Italy. I go back and forth quite a bit and usually stay there for a couple of months or a month at a time. I've been able to buy Italian clothes, and I've noticed that I think we have an idea in the United States that in order to be comfortable, clothes have to be baggy. And you made a comment earlier about a jacket being too tight, but I've also noticed that when I put clothes on in Italy, I look at them on the shelf or on the rack and I think, oh, that's going to be too small. But then when I put it on, it actually feels really comfortable. And I was wondering if your guests could talk about where this idea of, baggy in the United States comes from, and why is it so hard to find clothes that fit well that are comfortable here in the U.S.
Well, I also want to talk about the kind of tailoring, I guess, you see in Italy. Wally, can I put that first to you?
So I think what happens is Americans, for the most part, businesses kind of work towards the common denominator. And sadly, you walk down the street in America, and most of us as gentlemen are Americans are by and large larger people. So if you walk into a store like Sears, you're not going to, you know, they're making towards the common denominator. So what happens is the perception gets broadened outwards, and that's kind of what you're shopping for. But I think kind of what our guest is getting to is a very important point, is when you have something tailored, it's built for your body.
Right.
So it's difficult to be uncomfortable when something is cut to your dimensions. So kind of the idea that, you know, I would be out in the field doing jumping jacks in a suit seems ridiculous. But if it's a tailored suit, it kind of is built for my proportions. So, you know, tight is it's relevant to relative to how the jacket is made.
I mean, it seems like we've gone from super baggy and even like, you know, pants falling down kind of stuff to much tighter jeans. You see that as well. But Bruce, what is it about Italians and tailors?
Well, there's a whole a bunch of things. First of all, the American manufacturers that are left here, you can almost count on your thumb. You know, I mean, we just don't have that anymore. The Italians, it seems that there are a lot of small manufacturers in Italy, and there are also a lot more tailors. You know, even in a place, I work in New York, and there are just a handful of custom tailors left in New York. In Italy, it still seems that almost every little town has a tailor. You know, so I think the Italian guys are much more educated and much more used to having clothes that fit. And when you get a custom tailored suit or even a well-made manufactured suit, it's made in a way that conforms to your body better. Yeah. It's not a question of just making it so big that you're comfortable in it, but a good suit, as well I says, is made that it conforms to your body. You know, there's more handwork in a good suit. It's not just cut with a laser beam and glued together, which is I'm not exaggerating.
Things are glued together now?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Most things are glued together.
It's called fusing. And what it is between the outside layer of the cloth and the inside layer, there's a sheet of very lightweight fabric that's impregnated with glue. And under heat and pressure, those three layers are pressed together, and that's what gives the shape to the suit. But it's not a good way to make clothing.
No, I can't imagine. Where do you get your fabrics, Wally?
So most of my fabrics are sourced from either West Africa or the Netherlands, made kind of for the African market, because there's a long history and complicated story about how African prints are made and why they look the way they do. So that's a long tangent. But the short answer is that they're made imported typically from either from Africa or from Europe.
We are, as I said, we're clearly on the radio here. You brought in these beautiful scarves that you design that have a very sort of classical paintings of. I was just in Italy, so I feel like I saw all all over the walls of the museums.
Yeah, so much of my work is kind of it's almost like Banksy meets West Africa meets a classical museum exhibit.
Oh, sure.
So for me, it's the idea of, again, of storytelling. If a young black kid walks into a museum, sadly, he's going to look at all these classic works and oftentimes is not going to see himself represented. Mm. So for me, it was the idea of telling contemporary and older African stories using these masterworks. So kind of like combining it and mixing things together.
Sure.
Let me jump in here just a minute, because I wanted to pay a compliment. I was looking at the scarves and they are absolutely gorgeous. And we were talking before the show, and I mentioned to him, they reminded me of a famous tailor and designer in Naples called Rubinacci, who does the same kind of thing, but for the Neapolitan tradition, as Wale is doing for the West African tradition and the other things that he does. I found the scarves absolutely gorgeous. And what struck me, and I know this is a lot of weight for him to carry, but I think he is, in a way, more than a men's clothing designer. He's an artist, because his understanding of color and texture and pattern and so forth absolutely transcends just being a clothing designer. And I wanted to pay him that compliment.
Thank you, Mr. Boyer.
No, absolutely.
Well, it's storytelling. It's the idea that you need to convey what are we all doing this for? If you're not going to be adding something to conversation, adding mm-hmm. something new to the palette, why are you here? So for me, it's kind of hopefully injecting a different perspective into a world that exists and hopefully bring something fresh to it.
Now, it looks like you have a pocket square. So you have one of your scarves.
I do.
And is that a new thing now, pocket squares?
They've been around.
Have
I think
they?
I think you'll see them more.
More
you see them more now because men are becoming more cognizant, more aware of just trying to look better, which is good.
But Marty, it's not a new thing with those of us who dress.
Okay.
I hate to tell you.
Okay,
that,
I'm in the wrong crowd. You know, clearly.
Well, exactly. I used to when I was at Town and Country, I did a lot of photo shoots. And with some of the great photographers. And I remember I did a lot of photo shoots with Slim Ahrens, who was a really great fashion photographer. And Slim used to tell me little tips about things. And one of the things he told me, he said, always put a pocket square in a man's chest pocket when you're doing a photograph. Oh. Because he said, if you don't, it looks as though something is missing, which is kind of interesting.
Oh, sort of breaks up, I guess,
the
front of the jacket.
Exactly.
Something like that. Let me get Sabir from King of Prussia to join our conversation. And Sabir, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
How's it going, everybody?
Good. How are you?
Sabir.
I am doing well. Hey, Wale. So I'm a friend of Wale's.
Okay.
But I also work in the industry. And my comment was that I think now, and I'm going to use the millennial market as the example, is that menswear and style is becoming so prevalent because of the rise in social media where people feel like they can be all-inclusive. So, like, I've been a fan of Wale's for, like, 5 years, but then I started doing work with him. And then his clothing is such a piece of artwork that when I take a picture of something and I post it on Instagram or Tumblr, people automatically want to see it, and they want to know, well, where's this from? How can I be a part of it? And they kind of want to emulate the style because not only is it great clothes, it creates a good story. So you again begin to see it on every different type of social media platform, and people start to say, you know what? Well, I can do that too, or I want to look just as good.
Well, Sabir, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. Wally, anything you want to
it's
say
kind
back
of
to
a,
your friend?
Yeah, it's a what a wonderful time to be alive. Like, the internet is very much democratized.
Yep.
Clothing, and it's made it, you know, that I learned a lot of what I know through seeing the writings of Bruce and people just online. Right. And so now you have kids in small towns in middle America who can look however they want to look because they have the information in front of them.
Well, Bruce, and it's social media, but it's also just how interconnected we are as a world now. So I would assume, I don't know where fashion comes from anymore, but it seems like it comes from almost anywhere.
Well, the first interesting thing is that, you know, up until, I'm going to say the late 1960s, I mean, you talk about fashion, you were talking about women's clothing. And in fact, if you go to fashion museums, almost any place in the world, what you're going to see is women's wear collections, you know? And I think it's just wonderful that we guys are getting a chance to be involved in this. You know, I think we guys can be a little sexy and look good too, don't you?
Totally.
I mean,
yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
Yeah. And the second point that I wanted to make is that I think it is global now. You know, in many ways, the most interesting fashion magazines that I see today, and I think it's a real shame that there isn't a good American menswear fashion magazine, the best ones come from Japan.
Yeah.
The Japanese fashion magazines, in menswear at least, are just fabulous.
Wow.
They're just great. And I think what's coming out of Asia, particularly that kind of Hong Kong, Tokyo, Singapore nexus, if I could use that word again, is really important. But it is a global thing. It is a global thing.
Let me get Susan to join us on calling us from Fort Washington. And Susan, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Thanks, Marty.
Sure.
I enjoyed listening today, gentlemen.
I
heard the comment earlier that men's fashion seemed to be going sort of to an unearthly looking appearance, incredibly skinny, as though a real person isn't inside the clothes,
sprayed
on, were some of the comments. And it strikes me that women's clothes are going the same way. pencil skirts, very skinny jeans, incredibly skinny pants. And it seems to me as though we are moving to a more unisex look.
Oh, it's interesting.
Denying curves and therefore sexuality. Not expressing sexuality in our clothes, except that we are painfully thin. And that seems to be bucking a common sense trend as well, that our models and our goals should be human-looking rather than impossibly thin and anorexic.
Well, I appreciate the call to Radio Times, Susan. Mm. It is interesting, the sort of the idea of taking away the shape, the sexiness, the shape of the body.
There is. But I think what kind of harking back to the previous point is interesting is that we're at a point where now somebody like myself who did not go to fashion school, who has no formal training in that realm, because of the internet, can go out and kind of make his own thing. Right. So we're in a world where basically if you want curves, you make that. Right. And presumably there are enough people who kind of see the world the same way you do and they'll gravitate towards you. So I think the beauty is, in a sense, the idols are being toppled and we're all kind of making clothes for ourselves. Which is, I think, the way things should be.
And we're almost out of time here, but I'm also thinking, Bruce, about men seem to like watches and perhaps glasses. I mean, there are ways that I see men accessorizing themselves that I don't know if that's new or not.
It's kind of interesting, isn't it, that men like glasses and watches because you don't need a watch anymore. I mean, it's on your phone, isn't it?
Exactly.
And you don't need glass frames because you can wear the lenses, right in your eye. So I think those items, as we could think of other things, but those items have become kind of fashion signatures, I know for myself, I tend to like round kind of tortoiseshell glasses. And the reason I do it is because it makes me look intelligent, so I can fool a lot of people that way, you know.
Well, it worked during this hour,
well,
I have to say.
Thank you. Sometimes I also, by the way, my best fashion accessory is I carry a book or two around with me.
Ah.
You know, something in philosophy, Spinoza maybe, so that people think, boy, that guy knows what he's doing.
Brilliant.
You know, yeah, exactly.
I just carry a 2-year-old and I think
it's there you go. This has been so much fun. Bruce Boyer, thank you so much for joining us today on Radio Times.
Oh, it's been my pleasure to be here with you and Wale.
And the book is called True Style. Wale Oyejide, thank you so much for joining
thank
us
you.
On Radio Times as well. And again, check out his clothing line at Kiri Jones. We actually posted something yesterday on our Facebook page, a link to that. Kevin Griffin, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times, the show produced by Susan Greenbaum, Debbie Bilder, Emily Bryant, and John Ahrens. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen, closing things out with a little Frank Sinatra.
Got my tweed pressed, got my best vest, all I need now is the girl. Got my striped tie, got my hopes high, got the time and the place, and I got the rhythm. Now all I need's the girl to go with 'em. If she'll just appear, we'll take this big town for a whirl. And if she'll say, my darling, I'm yours, I'll throw away my striped tie and my best pressed tweed. All I really need is the girl.